So we're going to talk about latency in this talk and our approach in reducing latency. It's kind of interesting that we get placed in the transportation session, but probably makes sense a little later because we'll talk about mobility and using mobility models in trying to improve connectivity to various endpoints. So the concern of latency as a first-class problem in mobile systems is becoming more and more important as you talk about mobile connectivity. And not only, you know, just smartphones that we talk about, but a lot of, you know, stationary connectivity in many of these places is also provided through some sort of cellular network technology. So you can expect the kind of latency that you can expect from mobile devices, maybe even worse, by the time you make it to a PC or some workstation that has to connect through some data card, which is fastly becoming the standard way to have high-speed connectivity in many developing regions. But you know, latency is a difficult metric to improve, and there are a number of reasons for this. You know, a lot of technologies that try to pack more bits on the wire or on the spectrum. You know, some of them do improve latency, but usually that's not the goal of a lot of the improvements. It's being able to move many bits across you know, across the wire, which does not help latency very much. Latency also has, you know, a hard upper bound above which you can't just improve it. Laws of physics don't allow that. And as you try to improve the service for various people by adding additional services on along the way, so from your firewall to the switch to the router, keep adding to the latency, although they don't entirely affect the overall bandwidth that a user gets. And perhaps, you know, most importantly, latency does not sell very well. You see a lot of advertisement for various plans of connectivity where you can get, you know, 12, 6, 3 megabits per second, you pay this much. Nobody ever advertises, you know, this is the latency you're going to get. It's just, you know, behind the scene. So on the other hand, we actually are very sensitive. We humans are very sensitive to latency. Even in systems where you have a good balance between bandwidth and latency, we seem to be very... We notice delay and jitter quite easily, and you know, even small increase in latency. People have done a number of experiments at various places, looking at interactive tools like, you know, video streaming or you know, an interactive session on the web, can really get quickly annoying as the latency increases even by a small amount. And you know, a few hundred milliseconds of latency on mobile devices, which really is the standard in many of these places. A lot of commonly used applications start to become noticeably annoying or unuseful. So this problem is even more pronounced in challenging networks, which already have, you know, various infrastructural problems in connectivity. You know, mobile connectivity is the primary way a lot of people connect to the internet. Even at shared internet access sites like internet cafes, internet kiosks, on the back hole, what you have is some sort of 3G connectivity or some cellular link connectivity, which ends up making even, you know, the most basic network tasks unpleasant, and we talk about this all the time. But even our work at Michigan has been looking at, you know, the challenge of bandwidth and how do you try to improve user experience when somebody's connected at very low kilobits per second. And some of these works have been helping with latency too, but we want to look at latency as a first class concern. So the spoiler for this talk is we think one key solution is provisioning data and storage as close to demand as possible, and this allows us to do to trade latency for bandwidth and storage. And bandwidth grows about, you know, square of latency, and storage grows even faster, looking at, you know, the past, I don't know, 10, 20 years. So this could be a worthwhile trade-off. And towards the end, this paper proposes this moving cloud architecture, framework for proactive delivery of data to where a user would need to use data, but do so ahead of time. So it's mostly a proposal. Some parts of it are validated, or like partial validations in terms of components. We also have modified some prior work to support some of the interactions that we talk about in the system, but mostly a proposal. These are the few themes in the moving cloud, and this is perhaps the slide that you want to remember if you want to remember something from here. So people are creatures of habit. We talk about this all the time. In particular, mobility models, and the work at Michigan was mentioned earlier. So humans generally move in patterns that you can probabilistically learn, if not accurately. And we can use that in trying to place data. And the other component is people often access data in patterns as well. So you can try and understand how people access content, what sort of content people access at different places, so that you can be smart about proactively delivering this data where it ought to be. So there are about three components that go into this whole system. The first is this delivery infrastructure that allows you to push data out to various nodes that you care about, that a person moves about. And then we want to use predictions of mobility, which there are plenty of ways to do, but we want to augment such predictions with time bounds, especially if you care about delivering or having some sort of freshness in your data delivery mechanism. You need to know not only where a user is going to be, but when they're expected to be there, so that you can also make good decisions about when to deliver data and to give them as fresh data as possible, given the information you have. And then we also want to leverage the context of data access. Look at data access, but see the attached context so that we can have a better selection of data. So be a little more smarter about the sort of data that you deliver at various places. And that's sort of what we'll go through in the rest of the talk. So given the infrastructure, the last two points look at how do you improve delivery over that. So just an example of how you might use this, let's look at an application that has been around for some time, cyber foraging, which tries to augment computation of nodes, mobile nodes, using what they call local surrogate. So if you have a mobile device which does not have as much computation, but you want to run a computationally intensive task on it, one good way to do it is be able to leverage surrogates or machines that might be lying around locally to you. Even if this work was around when mobile devices were not as powerful and you didn't have smartphones, you're always going to, mobile devices are going to be always at a disadvantage compared to your more stationary counterparts. So what this approach does is take computation as a replaceable component that can be provided by various surrogates that are around you. And the key is they're often just a single hop away. So you are helping with latency. You don't have to rely on a cloud that's somewhere you have to wait 100 milliseconds, 200 milliseconds to get to. So trying to define these units of computation that you can offload is actually not very easy, and this is what most of the work has been around. And the latest iteration seems to be this idea of cloudlets, which is this concept of data centers in a box that you can ship around. So you can imagine them being deployed across APs or access points or routers, and as you need them, you can just be able to use them to compute some amount of work. And the way they go about encapsulating this computation and be able to run it at various places is this concept of a base. So they use virtual machines, and you have a base virtual machine and an overlay virtual machine. A base is something that is common among various overlays, and ideally you'll carry various overlays, and as you encounter various surrogates that have different infrastructure or different bases, you try and match and be able to do your work on there. But matching VMs and especially updating them when you have them divided across these various components that are in different administrative domains is not an easy task to do. So one approach you can take is this moving cloud approach, where if we have an infrastructure that is good at targeted and proactive delivery of data, you can imagine actually shipping these VMs where a user might need them ahead of time, and still employ those techniques that we talked about, smarter and efficient delivery, so that you don't have to go through this perhaps brittle way of synchronizing your state among various overlays and be able to update them as you go. So this is what the high-level design for the moving cloud is like. You're going to have a number of applications, and we'll talk about what the ideal application will look like, which pushes data to the cloud. And then as the user consumes data at various points in her day-to-day route, we learn good ways of delivering this data for her. And by learning these patterns, we can help these applications stage their data at the locations where a user would go out and use it. So the sort of three key principles, one is this proactive placement. Two is extensibility. So we want to make, we want to build a platform. We want to build a well-defined interaction points where applications can push and get data from them. And then we want to access model both in mobility as well as access of data so that you could have efficient delivery using this infrastructure. So the ideal application running on the moving cloud will have two components. There's this server-based component, which deals with the high-fidelity first-class replica of whatever data that you are processing and computing on, which changes from an application to the application. And then there's this mobile component, or the moving component, which knows, which provides the user-facing interactions and also knows how to get data and use it from the surrogate nodes. And we say a node is publicly available storage and compute node which you hopefully have access to, which can easily translate to something like the library PC in a developing world context, or a kiosk that you pay for, or in the very optimistic way, sometimes this is framed, you could imagine where you have this storage and compute nodes available for you to use at various places that you might visit throughout the day. So we imagine updates would happen to the data that you're pushing throughout, in the wild. So it's going to be important to be able to harvest some of that state. And then it's the server component of the application. So the cloud is going to be application and data agnostic, so it doesn't know what to do with the data. But as it gets at this residual state at various nodes gets collected back to the server, your application needs to be able to deal with the semantics of what happens and be able to integrate it together. What the moving cloud supports, though, is a set of interfaces which allow you to push data to be delivered at various places, and then accessing data from these publicly available nodes or nodes that you have paid for, and then harvesting state, residual state that remains after you did some compute on the data. And then some support for versioning, robust versioning, which is very important, is actually quite hard to do, we'll talk about. And then providing this contextual access information, which will allow the application to fine-tune or fine-tune their future requests for using the cloud for pushing data out. So let's talk a little bit about mobility. There have been several models that researchers have looked at to capture mobility. A lot of them are actually quite good, at least on data that has been collected and available. 80-90% accuracy rate of predicting mobility has been achieved. So what this location predictors do is, given your history of where you have been, where are you going to go next? So location prediction is, if not entirely, but it's, a well-studied problem. So what we want to do is take this and add a time bound on arrival times of various locations you're visiting, because this is quite important in trying to deliver data that is also fresh. So we want to wait up until the last moment that we have to push data, but still be able to make it within a certain deadline. So what that means is you need to know where a person is going and have some idea of where you can expect them to be there. And this is what gives you actionable information for pushing data out proactively. So our approach to doing so is this notion of routes, which we identify with fingerprints, and I'll define what that is. And then once you identify routes with a certain amount of fingerprinting, associate the associated route time. So be able to probabilistically model the associated route times so that you know when to expect somebody. So a route is just recorded mobility age between two nodes, which is identified by its precedent, which we call the fingerprint, and then some model which captures how long it has taken over the last n number of times, and you have standard deviations, and the statistical distribution just to make it short. So that M is the model for the actual route times. For the fingerprint part, we use the previous two locations that a user has been. And we have experimented with a number of different ways of, how do you identify a particular route given where a person has been in the past. And this has turned out to do just quite well. So for this highlighted route from B, C, we just say A and B is the fingerprint for that route. And what you notice is the fingerprint is not unique. So you might have multiple routes that branch off this particular route. So that's something like this might happen. So we use a second order Markov chain to represent this fingerprint. And it's going to be a sparse matrix that we use to decide on route choices. So given this fingerprint, where is a person, which route do we expect the person to take? And then once we have the route, we use the statistical models that we have on this particular route to bound where this time is. So, each entry in the matrix is this model that captures a particular route that you care about. So we use this to give time bounds. So using the standard deviation, we give some time bounds. It actually has been, we're able to get good results, at least with the crowded mobility data from Dartmouth, which had location and times. But it will obviously need to be evaluated even more. Talking a little bit about the contextual access of data. So this has been, patterns in data access have been used to guide system design for a long time. So we have special and temporal locality that are used to guide designs in I/O and memory systems, etc. People have looked at cluster of time, a cluster of files that people access together that can help you in various system design considerations. And what we look at is data access can also be correlated with the context in which it's accessed. So for example, if you just look at location and time of where data is accessed, that gives you some information about the sort of data a person is going to access. A simple example is an office data and a home data. Sort of the piece of data you touch at school where you're working on various things is perhaps different from what you do when you're at home or another place that you might be. So being able to attach this context with the data that's accessed will help you decide which sorts of bits to deliver and which sorts of bits to hold on because the person is not going to touch it anyway. And these patterns emerge over time and can be used for delivery. So the easiest, the first step to use this is you can actually give this context information back to the application. So if an application requests the data to be delivered to a few places, and then you can tell them the context in which it was actually used, then future requests can be fine-tuned based on that. And this can be modified, and I'll talk just a bit about that in a second. And in terms of looking at challenging networks and environments in developing regions, one nicety about this is you don't need to have very good mobility or location models to to get the benefits. So even at the granularity of internet kiosks or the libraries that you visit, or the, you know, the few places that you have access to, you can use that level of information about mobility to take advantage of this sort of prediction and proactive placement. And this would, you know, reduce the latency that people have as they interact with the applications. But you need to be careful about how you push data in terms of, you know, the resources are constrained to begin with, so you need to be pretty confident about the utility of such data before you push it out in this environment. So you need to have some sort of threshold and under which you think data is useful enough that it should be pushed out, or you're pretty confident that it's going to be used, and you can push it out even given the infrastructure that there is. And we have worked in the past on a similar infrastructure, which allows the end user to give hints of what sort of data they need and when they need it to push this out. So the difficulty is supporting this automated version of it, where the system can actually proactively do this. But the infrastructure to do so, and to do so in a secure manner, does exist. So here are a few challenges to look at going forward. An interesting problem is consistency models. So what you're going to have is you have vertical consistency, which is you have this high-fidelity data, and then you have the various delivered versions of it. So consistency between those two. And then there's horizontal consistency, where you need to consider, you know, data that was consistent at delivery time does not remain so as the user moves around and touches various bits of it. So how do you handle those? So you need some sort of, you know, robust versioning and consistency models to work on that. And this would be interesting. Has been, you know, an issue in many distributed systems for years. Improving prediction certainty, not necessarily accuracy, but certainty of predictions, because you're going to need to establish very solid utility functions that put into consideration the cost of using the network to deliver data. So you better be very certain about the utility of data before you push it. And this threshold is going to be different for different applications and different environments in which it's going to work. So that'd be an interesting area to look at. And then system level support for modeling that contextual access that I've been talking about. So you can give this contextual information directly to applications and expect them to use it intelligently, or you can try and do that at the system level. And there actually has been quite a bit of work, even at Michigan, looking at, you know, network transfers and battery power. How do you give applications hints that they can use? In a similar manner, how do you provide system level support for context-based access of data so that you can be smarter about delivery? So these are a few interesting areas to look at. I should mention, I don't know, yeah, since I don't have a slide for it, there are a couple interesting works along this space happening. One is from Microsoft Research called Volley, and the problem they're trying to look at is they have these data centers where users have data in the cloud, which they might access from a number of different locations. So they look at where in the data, in which one of their data 10 data centers should your primary copy of data at least be located. So we're proposing in this, you know, the moving cloud is a little more or some more detailed in that it identifies across various bits of data in the context in which they are accessed, and tries to have a good model of mobility and expected time in shuffling this data around. So that's the general idea for this framework. And thank you very much. Let's think about it. Academic work, huh? So like We have worked with email, for example, and it actually is a nice example in terms of you have this freshness constraints. So, you know, generally web-based email does not work well if you have high latency and low bandwidth. So this protocol-based approach of delivering your mail ahead of time so that by the time you go to, you know, say the kiosk or the library, et cetera, it's already waiting for you. So that's a nice way to think about it. But how do you do that proactively without the user even telling you that they need it? And the key is, if you're able to send data, you want to send it all at once without, you know, incrementally updating it. So you want to wait until the last moment that you can wait before pushing this data out to the end user, so that you do it all at once and the user comes and they get the freshest possible data that they have. So, you know, something like an email application that does this is a good candidate for this infrastructure. Go ahead. I see. I think so. If you could add, I don't know if they have done contextual bits to this, but I think perhaps you can use that sort of information to prune on the sort of data that you have to push out. You know, you're sitting at a restaurant, and there's only like so many sorts of applications you're going to touch, or so much data you're going to touch. So. Even being in this, you know, within the same vicinity or the same location, so being able to attach these other queues would allow you to choose data more wisely, I feel like. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. So the augmentation nodes that are going to be available. In the work we have done so far, we usually imagine them to be, you know, the internet kiosk kind of places when it comes to the developing world. So, you know, there are X number of them that you use on a day-to-day basis. You might have, you know, school computers as well, or you might have office computers. But for any given person, they tend to be just a few. So that is the access points that we're looking at. You know, in a more general application, this has been getting said for 10 years now, I suppose. It never has materialized, but, you know, you can imagine places where you can, you know, at a Starbucks, it would be nice if you could have some node that you can offload computation, or you can offload or you can be able to get data through. So, you know, that is like, you know, pie in the sky sort of approach. But for our work, as it applies to the dev work we've been doing, this is more grounded in reality, which is the internet kiosks and the libraries and all those sort of places that you access data from. Yeah.